on the eve of the NHL playoffs. So we got the preview shows going on tonight. We got the fantasy show going on tonight. And we're pretty fired up. It's also Tuesday, so it's Toilet Bowl Tuesday. And I think it's actually the perfect time to get into that. I'm assuming our next guest, who happens to be in studio, and he got in around 5:14.
So who wins the...
I think I win. All right, Ray's in here.
Yeah.
Is the Toilet Bowl just traffic in Toronto for you?
Yeah, and my scheduler.
Your scheduler.
Which is me. You all right, Ol?
That was a massive sneeze.
That was. You could have pulled a hamstring there.
Well, he was wearing a cone last
He's got rabies. He realized that.
Well, yes, because he had to go to the vet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he started the show wearing a cone.
They gave him a dog cone.
That's what they want me to wear.
That's what you get when you go to the vet.
Trying to lean in.
You know why they give a dog a cone, right?
You can't eat or you can't lick your balls.
That it would be the second one.
Yeah, the latter more often than not. I don't think that's a problem for him, but still.
I can't even lick my elbow.
Nobody can.
Nobody can.
That's the point.
That's good.
Anyway, we were wondering when you were going to come in. We were taking times. I said 5:16. Noodles said 5:17. O said 5:22, I believe.
Yeah.
So you had 5:14. I guess I went.
Yeah, I landed at 3:20. Do you know there's traffic here?
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
Believe
like
me.
We left the airport, and Buddy that was driving there,
yeah,
it was an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And when we came to the first turn,
yep,
he got both hands up on the wheel, and we were going really slow.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm like, this is going to be a long trip.
It was. It is a long, believe me. I've done that drive from that
airport.
You have to take the 401. There's no other way around it.
You do. I mean, you can grease your way north and try and get around to it, but to get to Scarborough, you got
Oh, by the way, the GPS wasn't working, so he asked me how to get here. Oh. I go, I live in Vancouver.
Really?
Yeah,
that's comforting.
That. Yeah. I said, I was doing two radio hits.
Yeah.
And I got a guy driving. I think he knows where he's going.
Yeah, he's in.
We were talking about this yesterday. Like when you get into a cab or an Uber or whatever, as we know, you're putting your life in their hands. Yeah. And if they're on the phone or something, or they're distracted, and like I had a guy when we were honeymooning in Greece, we flew into Athens, and we flew into the airport, and we're going downtown or whatever. I don't know Athens. What the hell do I know where we're going? I'm not kidding you. Every time we hit a stoplight, this guy fell asleep. He was falling asleep.
That is so scary.
I was so terrified. I still, to this day, regret not saying, just pull over, dude. I'll find someone else. Like, I was talking to, you know I'm not a guy who's talking to the cabbie. I'm not sparking up a conversation.
You're not chaser.
No, I'm not. I'm sparking conversations with this guy to keep him awake. It's terrifying.
That is.
Yeah.
In Athens.
You get, I've been in some places where the quality of vehicle you get into.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
I think it's got three wheels.
Yeah. I went from Georgia to Jacksonville Airport, and it was a beautiful SUV, Cadillac Escalade. The guy was an older dude, like 70 years old, and this guy was doing his accounting on the way on the highway on I-95, like checking off prices, receipts, and then on his phone, checking his. I looked at him and I go, dude.
Yeah.
Texting and looking at a text, but you are literally doing your accounting in the car right now.
It's tax season. H&R Block.
Yeah.
On the
you got to knock it off because it's not
it
cool.
It is scary. Yeah, like that's the thing. And, you know, it people get so distracted by it. I mean, same thing. We were in Rome, landed in Rome, and the guy was on his phone. We almost rear-ended somebody in front. I had to scream. And I finally, like, I gave the guy heck.
Did you Kelly chase him, though?
No, I didn't reach
through. Did you think of choking him out?
But I did want to. I mean, you know, we're trusting him.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's brutal.
It's a bond you have with the driver.
Well, it's a contract because I'm paying that guy.
Well, that's true.
But ridiculous.
Anyway, the thing is, we don't really sympathize for you because you're going from Vegas to L.A. for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, however, to get from Vancouver to Vegas should not include a flight to Toronto.
No.
No, I think you could have probably.
I could have done
double
a better
ender.
Job. Yeah, I could.
I would
done.
Think
double
so.
Ender. I would.
Oh,
think.
But the you know the quiz master.
Yeah. No, I
was very diligent. Got to be on top of things.
Why are you wearing a winter jacket in here?
I'm always cold in this studio.
It's 162 degrees.
It's very warm.
You guys are overheating.
Yeah, I'm hot. But I don't know. It's just
like
maybe.
The jokes on Instagram. You always have one friend that's always cold. It's usually a girl wrapped up in a blanket.
I know. I'm a grown man.
A grown-ass man.
I'm 34. I'm overweight. I have kids.
Yeah, and you're always cold.
I'm always cold.
Honey, I'm chilly.
I'm that guy.
You're the guy that says, Aaron, snuggle me.
I'll be snuggling tomorrow night when the playoffs kick off. And tonight for the preview show when you guys are... Is it all Leafs Jets tonight, or what's the plan?
Are there any other teams?
Not really, not up not here. Really.
Yeah, no, we'll go through all the series, and of course we have to do our predictions, but Bob doesn't do predictions.
We were talking about this, Bob steps out. Yeah, Bob steps out on that one. We were talking about this earlier, like out of the four first place teams, right, Hayes? Is that what the
Tampa, Vegas, Washington, Nashville.
Nashville. Which one could you see an upset with? Out of those four?
Oh, L.A. beating Vegas.
That's what I said.
But I picked Vegas.
Yeah, you said you picked Vegas.
But would it really be a shock if L.A. won? Heck, Washington.
Well, I think it was you, Ray, that told us yesterday, wasn't it, that they're two top defenders.
Two of four. Yeah, I mean,
that's going to make it challenging against that speed.
All of a sudden, you're like, you're looking at Oscar Fantenberg and...
Yeah, you go
Paul deeper. Ledoux's played 20 games, and he's got to play. I mean, Doughty's going to have to play 60 minutes.
He will. He'll play a ton, right? And I think, you said Washington. I do think Washington, they're kind of under the radar right now. No. But for a team that has been consistently in the playoffs for a decade and not done anything, how is there not pressure on them?
Well, how about coming out of left field?
Why would the pressure just start right now? There was no expectation. Everyone left last year. They're like, I guess they're going to be brutal.
So what? We're just going to hand them another first or second round loss? I mean, at some point, they got to break through, don't they?
What about going with Grubauer? I think that, to me, signals that they're just, things are different. Like, I pick Columbus, but I think they're... We're crazy if we just look past Wash.
I picked Wash, and I actually picked Wash a long time ago to quietly just be the team that makes it either to the conference finals or right there. Like, I think they've flown under the radar. We all thought this team was done. If you take a look at them, did they end up in sixth place in the league?
They ended up ahead of the Leafs.
Yeah, like just because of
ROW.
But they were right there on a team where Backstrom didn't have a great season. Ovi had a great season, but they had some young players, for me, break through. Grubauer helped pick up some of the slack that Holtby was leaving there. Like, what they wanted was a little bit of turnover for some of their young guys to elevate instead of them going and grabbing Shattenkirk. And I mean, I'm a big fan of Nate Schmidt. And they
You know what's funny about that?
I love that Schmidt in Vegas.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
They thought, apparently, that Vegas was going to take Grubauer.
Oh.
And so they didn't make another deal. They thought they'd take Grubauer because they wanted to keep Schmidt.
Right.
And then Vegas took Schmidt and then took, 10 other goalies.
Right.
And so it's turned out for Vegas to work out perfectly.
He's outstanding. But,
tell you, some of the GMs in the league with garbage goaltending, like if I'm Garth Algar in the island, I'm phoning up Washington saying, how much do you like your new boy Grubauer? Because what about the other guy?
How about the Islanders? They're leading the league right now in off-season statements.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
But you know what? They're going to build a new rink.
Mm-hmm. 4 years from now.
Yeah, good for them.
Well,
yeah.
Montreal's making some good noise, too. Did you see Bergevin yesterday where he had the audacity to tell his fan base that he believes if this team had a different attitude, they would not have lost as many games?
They should get Fred Rogers in there.
What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means.
You put the attitude together.
But what the hell does that mean? Like, what does that mean?
You know what it means? Go get new players.
Exactly. It's a cop-out.
And then they brought up Buffalo. Well, Buffalo said they've got players that say they're used to losing. They're used to losing because they're not good enough.
Because they lose it.
But if you start to win, you'll have a better attitude.
See Chad Johnson's comments?
Chad Johnson. 31-year-old backup Chad Johnson.
It's like they got... I don't know if you saw
this. I didn't see this.
Oh, dude. You're on the plane. He came out today and said... Yeah, I'll think about coming back if they make it worth my while. But right now, I'm basically not the way this team is constructed and the way that we played in front of me.
Does he know he had one win in January?
Well,
does he know he's Chad Johnson?
I know. I read the comments.
I couldn't believe those.
Guys.
Not the football player,
right? Yeah. Not Ochocinco.
Exactly.
You know what's crazy? He's going to get 3 or 4 offers.
He will. Because he is a backup.
I think he's a good backup.
That can give you minutes. I agree.
Maybe that's why he could say that. But that is a crazy thing to say.
What about Ryan O'Reilly's comments?
But there's
lost my love for the game a bunch of times this year. Interesting.
He makes $8.5 million.
No kidding. How's that? Every 2 weeks, I'm sure you start loving it again.
I don't understand why people would be compelled to talk like that. regardless if you feel it. Or
just
not.
Say like, not. Just move along.
Yeah. Like I just, all you do is shine a giant light on yourself.
I know. Guys in Carolina, Justin Williams and Cam Ward, I think got it right. They're like, we have to stop this nonsense. Being complacent and accepting losing, it's got to change. We need to change the roster, and we all need to get better here. And they left. Like that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are. I mean, that's a pro's way of dealing with a mess.
And
by the way, how about walking into a players' meeting and the owner's the guy sitting there?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
The owner down in Carolina was doing the...
he did the exit meeting.
He said they're going to get tougher or they're going to get new players.
Nice.
Whately finds out that it's a little harder to get new players than going to buy a new car.
I thought he had like a good kind of vibe and changing things up in Carolina, but the more I'm hearing and the more I'm seeing and watching, it's just... He's the owner with a couple beers in the video room that's just, he doesn't know what the hell he's
doing.
Well,
and what worries me is owners like that, they're at the club, and guys lean over and be like, you got to get rid of this player or get this player. Like, they get influenced.
That's the Dallas group.
Who in the hell has a GM search and then calls it off because too many people are backing out? That's when you know you're a dope.
And so right now, Don Waddell is the general manager. And with all due respect, he was the general manager in Atlanta. That was quite a program.
Nice guy.
That worked out really
well. Hell of a nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Super guy.
I like Donnie.
Honestly, Donnie is an awesome guy.
Yeah, he is.
Really nice.
Yeah. But yeah,
as a general manager.
Yeah. There are a lot of nice people.
But who's going to take the job? Like, who's going to take it with...
No, who's going to take a pay cut to take that job? Yeah. What a joke.
Well, who cares?
I don't understand if a billionaire is going to pay pennies for the job. Like, if you have that type of money, I mean, you can't go with the Maple Leafs template. But if you have money, you're going to have to spend money to get quality people.
I kind of get the impression like there's an ego at play, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But this guy's probably looking at it as, the NHL needs me more than I need them. I'm coming in to save this team that nobody wants.
He's gonna get a rude awakening.
Do you not think there's also, look, I've built a business.
Yeah.
I've made $1 billion. I'll just build this business.
Yeah, I know how to do this.
But it's just
different.
And it's not to say you got to be an ex-player to run a team. You don't. No more. But you've got to have some sense that maybe people that have played or people that have been around the game can offer you some level of expertise.
Yeah, some insight.
Yeah. But well, we'll see.
That's up to him. Anyway, he's not in the playoffs.
No, exactly. Forget Carolina.
We'll talk about them at the draft.
Right. Leafs Bruins, game one Thursday night. I think a lot of Leaf fans are probably looking back. They might not be tracking the game tape and reviewing the tape, but wondering, how did Ottawa beat this team last year? Because Ottawa was an underdog, even though they had home ice. The way Boston had been playing, the analytics all screamed Boston in a cakewalk over Ottawa. And the Sens won in six. Is there anything the Leafs can take from that?
No, I don't. I don't think so because they played such different style
and like different personnel too.
Like the
young kids,
the team was, the team was different.
Yeah.
Toronto has to, Toronto has to play the style that best suits them. They can't turn into something that they're not in 4 days, from the end of the regular season. I don't think anyway. And one component, of course, is the goalie's got to be great.
Yeah.
They can't take any penalties. Because, or I guess you can, but man, you'd put a lot of pressure on your penalty killing. That's a really good line.
For both teams. Both teams, great power play.
But we're just talking about Toronto, though. If Toronto takes five minors, you're giving up one or two. The Bruins are a 24% power play, something like that. It's an even series for sure, but I don't know what they could take from Ottawa in that they play and their personnel is so much different.
Yeah, the system was so different. The approach was so different. But it worked. Like, something clicked, right? Something worked for them. And they got some breaks, too, right? They won some games in overtime. They got some big stops.
Do you think Rask is much better or better than Anderson?
I was just talking before you came on that I think this is a coin flip. I dug into them last night. Like, I think Frederik Anderson is an elite goaltender, but I think Tuukka is, too. Now, their strengths are a little bit different. Anderson's a little bit bigger physically, and I think Tuukka is a guy who has better lateral movement, a little bit more athleticism in him. So
he seems to have, there seems to be more holes that pop up around Rask.
Because of the way he plays. Yeah. So he's He's aggressive in the net. He's got a good glove hand. But what I talked about in my pre-scout for the Leafs is the Leafs have to have a lot of deception plays, which they do. They've got a lot of like look-off plays and moving because Rask will commit. He commits, and he's aggressive on pucks. So when he's aggressive, he can make saves, and he can get to scramble plays, but sometimes there's holes when you're reaching and you're opening up. Frederick is more efficient in the net. Now, he works well to get to the top of the crease. And the minute that he gets there, he stops and sets, and he's in really good
position. He's a big boy, too.
The thing is if Boston can get to the front of the net and keep him in his net a little bit, he's I don't want to say he could be gun-shy, but he's had some traffic this year where it pushes him back in the net a little bit, and that's where he gets in a little bit of trouble. So now you get pushed back in the net. That's what creates holes, and you get around him. So if I'm the Bruins, I'm Backus and all those guys are getting to the front of the net and trying to keep Frederick inside the blue paint. With Rask, a lot of deception plays where you get him moving, that opens holes. So Rask has holes through his body. Anderson can get beat through depth because he'll get pushed into his net through traffic.
One advantage, though, for Toronto, I would say, is they're healthier than Boston. Even though Boston's limping their guys back in and they look
Nash
like they'll
have... play?
It looks like it. Rick Nash skated on the second line
and hasn't
today.
Played for...
a month.
Yeah, at least a month.
And he's coming off a concussion, so who knows?
So
that was his injury, the concussion that kept him out that long?
Allegedly, anyway.
It's a concussion. They said it was a concussion. Yeah. I'll check to see his games.
So, I mean, they paid a hefty price for him to come in and solidify that second round.
If I was a manager and I traded that package to get that, and it's like a concussion. God. Yeah, but
what are you going
to
do?
I know you can't do anything, but it would piss me off.
But, let's say he is back at 100%. What is 2018 Rick Nash at 100%?
You know what? I did a couple of Ranger games. I was more impressed with him this year than last. Like, I thought he skated really well. He was like... took the puck to the net. He's a big guy.
Big man.
Penalty kills really well now.
He is supposed to score a couple goals, maybe more than a couple, where everybody says if it was the Toronto Maple Leafs and you were supporting the Maple Leafs, Brian, and you say, that's why you pay the price to get that guy, whether it's an OT winner, a big play to win a game, and then everybody in the organization says, that's why we got him, and that's why we paid the price. I mean, you remember that overtime goal he scored in the World Championships? That was just a dynamic...
Yeah, guy was hanging all over.
Oh, yeah. They want something like that where they can say, that's why we went and got that guy.
He's...
Whether, I don't know the number of how many times or different times that he wants to step into the series and make his name, but that's what he's got to do. That's what they're expecting him to do.
They can't rely on the Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak line for everything.
Well, no. They got Krejci and DeBrusk.
Yeah, DeBrusk and Heinen.
Heinen's like played well.
His last game was March 17th. That Ryan Donato's a really good player.
By the way, I read today Donato's going to be a healthy scratch.
He's not going to play. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's playing.
How do you keep that kid out of the lineup?
They got depth.
They do have depth.
Really?
Like, the Leafs have depth.
You got 12 guys better than that?
Well, their fourth line is a pretty crash around line.
Yeah,
you're not going to have them.
That guy is not coming out of the lineup on my watch.
It's kind of like Janssen here. Like, Donato's performed better in terms of the statistics, but
both of those kids are in the lineup by the time the series is over.
You think both of them are going to play?
Yes.
Because we got to a prop bet earlier, the idea of one of the players who are on the outside looking in of the lineup, will they actually get in? And Noodles brought up the idea of Dominic Moore. Like, if Plekanec really struggles, maybe Moore could get in there. You could see Janssen going in?
I can't. I think Babcock...
But who would he take out? Like, I don't think he's taking Komarov out. Would he take Kapanen out?
Kapanen or Brown?
You think he'd take Brown out?
What does Brown bring that Janssen can't?
I don't know. I like whether Connor Brown's scoring or not. I always like what he's bringing to the table.
So what's that?
Are you talking about Connor Brown?
Yeah.
I like what he brings to the table. Even if he's not scoring, Ray.
But penalty, in a series, what if you're down 3-1?
Well, like, I agree. But you don't necessarily pinpoint Connor Brown. You find the guy that's not producing at a level.
I'm assuming that I was assuming that he would, because I think he's got one goal in 20.
He has not performed the way that he did a year ago, even. In terms of flashy moments, supplying more offense.
He's good, though.
In his defense, how much power, how much time does he see on the power play any game?
He doesn't get any. He's a penalty killer, and he doesn't get a ton of 5-on-5 minutes.
The thing is, it's like,
difficult to create offense. I know you
also have
to
find your way at the National Hockey League. I personally don't see Connor Brown as a top six player in the NHL. No. So he's not going to play on the power play. He's not going to, like, you can say, well, you can throw guys out there, but on the right side, Marner, Nylander, like, there's guys ahead of him. Like, Connor Brown, it would, like, to be out there, I think
but
it's a bad play
he's
for them.
How many guys, or how many teams go through a playoff series and use 18 skaters? Almost none.
Right.
Like, the guys are going to get in. Like, whether it's an injury on defense or somebody gets banged up, I think Johnsson's the first guy in. Even ahead, like they can dress 12 forwards and line Komarov up as the fourth line center, but still Matthews will double shift. Kadri will get an extra shift here. Like I see a way, I see a road. I've been really impressed with Johnsson.
Me too. He's looked
sometimes
very good.
I think there's a hype machine to the whole thing that they're pumping their kids up, and then I watch his kid play, and I'm like, you know what, he's just good. He's just a good player. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's a good player. Game one Thursday night in Boston. Rays in here. We'll get back into the series. The role Zdeno Chara will play in the outcome of this. Mitch Marner, he's been inspired by another player in the East that caught my ire a little bit. We'll tell you about that next. Gary Thorne is going to join us. Used to be the voice of EA Sports, the NHL game. And Ray, you've been doing that for years now, right?
Gary's an awesome, awesome broadcaster. Used to do NHL on ESPN. I did a Frozen Four with him. And so the game was in Denver. This is how much of a workaholic Gary is. And he's a machine. We did the championship game. It was in the afternoon. I got home. I flew home, turned on my TV, and Gary was doing Sunday Night Baseball.
No way.
From Fenway.
He went from Denver to Boston
and did the game. It was a Yankees-Red Sox, I think. So I'm sitting on my couch, and there he is doing the game.
The same day.
Same day.
That's crazy.
It was astounding.
Good for him.
Yeah,
Gary Thorne.
Crazy. So he used to do the Mets. He's done NHL on ESPN.
He's been Orioles. Down in Baltimore for years now doing the Orioles.
What a set of pipes.
Incredible.
Yeah, great voice.
He's one of those guys, it's uniquely his sound, too. You hear him, and you're like, that's Gary Thorne. Everyone knows who he is. Everyone knows the sound. And I guess, like, there was nobody at the game in Camden Yards last night. It was the lowest registered attendance, I believe, in the history of the building. That's an old building, too. Yeah. And it's because of the weather. Like, baseball, they moved the season up to last week of March, and no one's going.
Well, why would you go out there and freeze?
It's freezing up and down the East Coast.
Remember when they built Camden, though? It was the year after the Sky Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as Camden opened up, everybody's like, oops.
Bad call. Yards is accepted as like the nicest park in baseball, real close to it. And it's been around forever.
No roof.
Everyone hates on the dome. No roof.
7,500 or something, right?
7,500. And I guess the White Sox were playing earlier this afternoon. It looked like, honestly, there were about 1,200 people there. It's freezing in Chicago. No one wants to go.
Of course.
And the White Sox are brutal anyway. All right. So I was reading a piece in the Star this morning. And I got to have a word with Mitch Marner, because I guess he was using Alex Ovechkin, the way he played last year in the playoffs, as inspiration for what he has to bring to the table. And we all love Ovechkin. He's a great player. But his playoff resume isn't exactly the one I would be reaching out to use as inspiration for elevating my game. Is that
I think Alex has been fine. I think it's the people around him.
Okay, but he loses is my point.
What is he saying?
What he said was, here's a guy who scores all these goals, but then in the playoffs he ups his game and he's hitting everybody and he's
back checking. Mitch Marner shouldn't hit anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's
he's 170 pounds.
He can back check though.
Sure.
He can back check.
Yeah, you can back check. You can be on the puck. You can, but like. We were saying earlier about could they draw anything from Ottawa. You can't be what you're not. One playoff series, we won the division 1 year in Hartford, and Quebec was fourth. And
they dummied you.
They frickin' gave it to us, man, because we were going to show them how tough we were. We took 8,000 penalties. We won every scrum. we showed them.
Right,
and then their power play got 100 goals in the series. Well, like, we tried to be what we weren't.
Babcock said today, and this is a Babcock-ism, so I'm not surprised. He's probably said it every year in the playoffs for 20 years.
Right.
But he said, this is no longer the skill time, it's the will time. And what he's trying to say is you got to up your game, intensity, be physical. But you still need skill, right? Like, you still, last time I checked, Crosby's pretty skilled. Phil, yeah. Malkin, Patrick Kane, pretty skilled guy.
Well, you know what? Don't you think some grinder scores a big goal and you say, see, you can't win without that. But he's got one goal.
Right.
The other fellas might have...
They have 25 points, but forget that.
I agree. He still scores the goal. It's not like he had the hit. Like he now, you'll need a big block. You'll need a play at the right time. But it's still finding the back of the net. It's still drawing a penalty or executing on the power play. Like, it's a package.
It is, but your big boys win it for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that's
he said,
how you
win. Why is Mitch Marner talking about, like, running guys over? He shouldn't. He should worry about, you know what, I'm going to hold on to the puck and create some deception and draw some people towards me and distribute the puck and help create some open ice for my line mates. Or, you know, that's what he's been good at the last 3-4 months. So why not get
that's
away
what
from
you
that?
Have
Elevate
to do.
Your game mm-hmm. in that fashion. Like, would I like to see him bust back through the middle and break up a 2-on-1? Absolutely. He can do that.
He can do that. Every once in a while, are you going to have to chip and chase in the playoffs as opposed to a Tuesday night against Carolina? Yeah, you're going to have to do that.
Wow, you're giving it to Carolina.
I hate Carolina.
He had to get away from New Jersey.
I hate them right now, too.
Thanks, buddy. See?
You're welcome.
The old dog and I, we're on the same page. But Marner, like, I'll feel comfortable in terms of the impact he can have on this series when I see him dancing with the puck. That's what he does.
He scares people, right? When Marner gets the puck, he scares people.
Right.
And his even if he doesn't score, if he can create and push people around with the puck, then he makes an impact. Because eventually somebody else is going to score if it's not him. Last year, remember, he was a little guy.
Did not
he,
have
he looked
a good
like
series.
A kid in that
right.
series. And he's gone way down the road here this year.
What I'm interested to see is how Boston will defend that power play. Because I would much rather take my chance with him shooting the puck on the half wall than distributing
it. I don't know why,
I
guys.
Think there's going to be a lot of inside-out routes it's like the puck is not going over to Marner. It'll. Yeah.
But if it gets there,
why
leave
not
it
just
there. Let the goalie have
sit
it.
Sit back.
That's the one thing.
Yeah, like if he wants to shoot it from there, I'd let him shoot it.
I was talking to an assistant coach the other day, and the Leafs were about to play them. And I said, what are you guys doing on the power play? And he said, you have to force, but he goes, leave. Like, trust the goalie to make that save. Because he said, Marner's passing it so much. He said, that's what's screwing everyone up, is everyone's trying to cheat to him and then take away a pass, but then he threads a needle. He's like, leave him.
The other difference, though, is if you say you had that same thought against Nylander,
right.
Nylander can score from there.
Exactly.
That. Marner's not going to score.
He has proven he can, but I'm just saying, he's not as lethal.
No, but Marner's not going to score off that top of the circle.
No, but he had a couple where you had good net front presence because JVR did his job and got in the eyes of the goaltender, and the goalie can't stop what he sees.
I got a couple from out there, too, but then most of the time when I shot it, you guys laughed.
Well,
so
I
didn't shoot it from out there.
Machine. But that's in a 7-game series, that's the type of stuff where I'm really excited to see is you know, we all talk about the power plays. Well, both of them are exceptional. So staying out of the box is the best penalty kill, but we know it's not going to happen.
No,
there's going to be
impossible.
Penalties. So how are you going to defend them? You know, the goalies can be the best penalty killer, but systematically, what are you going to do? Like, are you going to allow, because there's one extra guy on the ice. Like, that's the type of stuff. Like, how are they going to play the neutral zone? Like, there's two teams in the league that play the right-wing lock instead of left-wing lock. Like, there's things that I'd really like to dig in on. And you know, I still think the Maple Leafs and the Bruins are the most unpredictable series as far, and I think it could be the most exciting one, although Pittsburgh, Philly could be very
exciting. I did the last one, and that was absolute mayhem, Pittsburgh and Philly. I don't think it'll be quite the same, but man, Philly will be, that building will be whipped up into a frenzy.
Yep, they got an opportunity for an all-time year in Philly. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Villanova won at March Madness, and now the Flyers can knock the Pens out in the first round.
I did the last game of the year there. They beat Ottawa 4-0, and they couldn't have looked less interested, Pittsburgh. I mean, they toyed with them.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of great shots of Phil yawning on the bench.
He'll be ready.
I saw
Phil
that.
Will be ready.
He was, tapping his fingers like this on the board. Then he went out and scored.
Yeah. And he's like, money.
Oh.
All right, buddy. Well, good seeing you. Thanks for popping in studio and enjoy the L.A.-Vegas series.
All I can say is you two guys are lucky Cuthbert and I can't get in here for the trivia thing.
Talking a lot of smack. We knew you guys would bail on
this. Would be a steamroll.
We're doing it. It's happening. Lock it in. All right?
Has to wear that helmet, though.
Yeah, he will. And I'll wear my jumpsuit.
Or the cone, one of the two.
The cone and the helmet.
The cone.
I wear the Giants helmet.
Yeah, I know. And the Leaf jersey, and I'll do whatever I got to do. All right, boys. Good to see you.
Later on, boys.
Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.